Our first reading this evening is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, beginning to read at verse 22. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Well, thank you to all of you who've read this evening as we've heard the promises and the events of the birth of Jesus Christ at that very first Christmas. And maybe you had this Christmas card, if you can see it through your door recently, or a friend gave it to you to put up on the mantelpiece from us here at the church. And on the front of it, it says that hope is born. Christmas is all about hope. A hope that isn't just for these couple of days every year, but for every single day of the year. And when it comes to Christmas, there's always that moment, isn't there, when you start to feel Christmassy. Maybe you start to get excited when you see the adverts on the TV or the Christmas songs on the radio, or when the lights and the decorations go up in people's homes or in the shops. Maybe you're someone who doesn't quite like it when all the Christmas stuff is out in the shops in October. Personally, I love it, not because I put my decorations up then. I put mine up on the 29th of November this year, very reasonably, I think. But I see the decorations and the lights, and I start to look forward, because when I see those things, I know that Christmas is coming. There is that feeling of looking forward to something good. And that sense of looking forward to something better is what we usually call hope. And there isn't really anything else quite like hope, is there? There are few emotions that are more powerful, few feelings that have got greater influence than hope. Because when you have hope, even if life remains the same now, your everyday circumstance hasn't changed, but as you go into that coming day or that coming week or even the year ahead, you're smiling on the inside. Hope changes you, doesn't it? Hope gives you an expectation that the future is worth working for. It's worth waiting for. Even if, like Christmas Day, when you are a child, that future seems like a very long way away and it comes so slowly. Hope inspires us. It gives us that drive and that determination until it disappoints us. I'm sure you know what it's like to have your hopes dashed. It could be the sporting hope of maybe England could have won the Ashes against Australia in the cricket, and that was until they started batting in the first test. It's the dashing of hope when your team loses a crucial game. Some say it's the hope that kills you, and that's a bit strong, but we know that when our hopes are dashed, you've got that sinking feeling. You know that sinking feeling when that Christmas present that you've saved up for and you've picked after hours and hours of scrolling online for that special someone, and it turns out to be out of stock and unavailable until January, when our case is a few weeks back, May the 19th. Hopes dashed. But even more seriously, that dashed hope, that sick to your stomach feeling when your job application gets rejected, or the person you've been dating breaks up with you, or that family situation comes out of nowhere, you get an urgent phone call, or those test results come back, and all of a sudden, all your happy dreams dissolve like snow in the sunshine. Maybe even as you listen to this evening, you do know how it feels when you get what you dreamt of, but even then you found out that, well, it's not all that you thought it would be. Maybe you did get the job or the relationship or the retirement that you'd always wanted, and yet it never quite delivered the satisfaction that you'd been promised. And sometimes Christmas is like that. You can plan and you can organize and you can go through December working hard, doing everything for your family, but then someone speaks unkindly to you on Christmas Eve. Someone's really ungrateful to you on Boxing Day. There's an argument on Christmas Day itself, and you've worked so hard to make Christmas wonderful, but it's spoilt in a moment. But even then, when our hopes are disappointed, what do? We tend to look to the new year that's coming. We set a New Year's resolution. We set our sights on something else, and we go through that whole cycle again. But sometimes, if you get knocked down for too long and too low, we can end up, we might not like to admit it, but we can end up with no hope at all. We can sometimes be left feeling, well, I haven't really got anything to look forward to. And so to have hope is a wonderful gift. But for hope to be worth having, it needs to deliver what it promises. There is no point in any of us spending our lives hoping for something that never arrives or disappoints. And most of us are aware of that at Christmas more than any other time of year. Not just because we didn't quite get the presents that we wanted. Christmas can often provide a stark reminder that this year, 2025, didn't actually deliver what we hoped it would. And that next year probably won't either. December can be the best time of the year, but it can sometimes also be the worst. Sadly, finding real hope that lasts and comes true seems to evade many of us. I wonder if you'd say you've got real hope as we reach another Christmas. But this is the kind of real hope that and the Christian faith claims that Jesus offers. And the chances are that so far in life, the things that you've hoped in and for have sometimes been fulfilled, but at other times they've been shattered. But whoever you are, whatever your life experience, the good news of Christmas is an invitation to put your hope in a future that is better than anything else you could ever imagine, more certain than any other promise that you could ever hear. And we've heard of this hope in our Bible readings this evening as we've tracked this promise made hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus Christ in Isaiah and Micah, right through to the eyewitness accounts of Matthew and Luke. Hope was promised, and hope is what came. And I want to highlight in particular for us something that we heard in our very first reading from Isaiah 9. There Matt read for us of a promise that there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress, and that people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That just sounds rather hopeful, doesn't it? It's widely recognized this time of year, the darker winter months, they are hard for lots of people. Some people struggle with SAD, seasonal affective disorder. But even if you don't struggle with that, we can all admit that a sunny day lifts our spirits, doesn't it? We find that the sun shining and blue skies, it just does something to our mood, and the day's just a little bit better. And it's that sense of hope that is found here in this promise of light dawning on those who were in utter darkness. People who were once down and disappointed, they're now full of hope. They now have a reason to be confident. And that hope is found in the Christmas promise there in Isaiah 9, that to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This hope was promised in the birth of a child, and it is this hope that is realized in that little town of Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago, as the wondrous gift is given, as Jesus Christ is born. God became human and lived among us. And that reading from Isaiah tells us that amongst other things, he was called Mighty God. And that was absolutely true. There in a real place and a real point in human history, Jesus proved so clearly that he really was this promised child to be born who would shine light in the darkness, who would bring hope to the disappointed, because he was and he is mighty God. And so if you've never read an eyewitness testimony of the life of Jesus in the Gospels, I'd encourage you to do that, because it's a bit unfair to dismiss the unique claims that Jesus makes if you've never even looked into them for yourself. And this evening we've heard some readings from Luke's Gospel that tell us about the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary and the birth of Jesus and the shepherds coming to visit this newborn in Bethlehem. But if you were to carry on in Luke's Gospel, you can read some amazing examples of how Jesus brings hope into the most difficult of circumstances. How he proves himself to be the mighty God who has always been promised, would come. And in his coming, we find that we really can have a hope for today and for this Christmas and for tomorrow and for the year to come and for the rest of our lives. He proves that. And for example, he calms a storm. You can read about that in Luke chapter 8 if you want. The fishermen disciples of Jesus, they were out on a routine boat trip and they end up finding themselves in a life-threatening emergency as a hurricane comes over their boat. And Jesus, having been asleep on the boat, is woken by the disciples and he stands up and he says, "Quiet, be still," and it is immediately. Here in the person of Jesus is someone with the power to control the seemingly incontrollable. Someone who can take a hopeless situation and turn it around completely. Nobody, none of us can control the wind and the waves, can we? If we could, we'd ask for a little bit less rain, I'm sure. And yet when Jesus speaks, he can calm a storm. Who is that? Who is this? The disciples ask. If he can calm a storm, well then he's not simply a teacher or a healer. Could he be mighty God who came into the world as promised at the first Christmas? Well, this matters greatly to us because without Christmas, this hope cannot be born. It is impossible for us to have. Because, you see, this isn't just about the physical season and the storms. It's also about the things that keep you awake at night. There's those things keeping you awake at the moment, maybe. There's those things that you're not in control of. There's those questions that are hanging over your future. Those hard things that are threatening to overwhelm you. Well, wouldn't it be such good news if there was someone with the power to control those things? That would give you hope, wouldn't it? It wouldn't make those hard things go away, but it would be so reassuring to know that behind the universe is one who is in charge and works all things out. And this someone is, in fact, the one promised by Isaiah when he spoke about that child who would be born, about that son who would be given at the very first Christmas, the one called Mighty God. But maybe you feel, well, life's going okay, actually. I've not had the worst year. So let me give you just one other example from later on in that chapter, in Luke chapter 8, that impacts all of us. There Jesus meets the most desperate grief. Nothing steals our joy and hope like the grief of losing people we love, does it? The presence of grief means that even our most happiest moments are diluted. Even on the best Christmas day, there is that feeling of, oh, if only that person had been here to enjoy this. They would have loved today. Grief hurts, doesn't it? It steals our hope. And maybe you've lost someone this year. Maybe it's many years ago now. But this time of year brings back those memories of those people we loved. And it hurts, doesn't it? Well, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus meets a man called Jairus, and his daughter was dying. They'll never smile in the same way again once she's gone. And so he comes to Jesus, and he begs for help. And Jesus says he will go, but on the way, they're held up by another sick woman, and the daughter dies while they're on their way. But Jesus encourages Jairus to not be afraid, but to keep on believing that she would be healed. Maybe you'd have been like the people at the house that day. They laughed at Jesus. They thought he's offering a false hope. They know what a dead body looks like. And in disbelief, they can only think this is such a cruel thing to do to grieving parents. But it wasn't a false hope. Jesus goes into the home, takes her by the hand, and tells her to get up, and she does it straight away. Jesus raises a child from death just as easily as you and I might wake someone from a Christmas Day nap after the king's finished his speech. He has the authority to turn chaos into calm, to turn grief into joy. And so how do you describe that? What's your category for this Jesus? And the gospel accounts make it very clear that the only category we can really have is that Jesus is mighty God. I don't know if you believe there's a God out there or not. Lots of us like to think there's something out there. Something more than the universe. Something that makes sense of the story of life that is this planet. Maybe you've ever just wondered, well, if there was a God out there, it would be great if he just proved it. And the good news of Christmas is that in the life of Jesus Christ, we see that God has proven it. And Jesus doesn't simply show us that there is someone out there. He also shows us what kind of someone is out there. There is a mighty God who gets involved in his creation. He's interested in the details of our lives. He cares about your joys and your tears. He cares about this world. It's not the way it was originally made to be. It's been broken by our failings, our shortcomings, our selfishness, that left to ourselves, we are without hope. And no matter how hard we try, we cannot alter the state of our world. We cannot change the default position of our hearts that always turns towards self. Because if we could, you'd think that we'd have made a bit of progress by now. We wouldn't have as many wars in the world as we do. There's lots of things that have developed in the world that we're grateful for. There's plenty that goes on, though, that is wrong still. And it saddens us, and it angers us, and it leaves us without a true and lasting hope as we trust in things that ultimately let us down. And left to ourselves, well, that's how things would always be. But that's why hope is born at Christmas. That's why Jesus comes into the world 2,000 years ago in a town in Bethlehem. As we've sung this evening in carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, that the hopes and fears of all the years are met in him tonight. In Jesus Christ, mighty God, comes and lives among us. He enters our world. He enters our mess to save us from ourselves, which he would do as he grows up and goes to a cross to die in the place of all who will receive him. And so I want to say to you this evening that you're right to hope for more. Because if this is what God is like, if Jesus really is the mighty God, then the reality is that actually we were made to enjoy a life with him. We were made to enjoy a life without storms and even without death. And we can have that life, not in this world, but one day in the life to come, we'll enjoy a new world where all uncertainties will be under control. There will be no evil or sickness or grief or death. That, friend, is the world that deep down you're longing for. It's what we glimpse in the best bits of our best Christmas memories we have. The laughter, the joy, the togetherness, and the rest of it all. Those things, they give us that glimpse. It's what we miss when our Christmases are so hard. But at the first Christmas, Jesus came to give us a real hope, the knowledge that there will be a day when things aren't just better, but totally perfect. This is the hope of Christmas, friends. It is real, it is true, and it is lasting. And it is this which will allow you to go into Christmas and 2026 smiling on the inside, whatever is ahead for you. Because this is what the mighty God, Jesus Christ, was born at the first Christmas to invite you to enjoy. And so as another year comes towards an end, as another Christmas nears, I wonder, what is your hope? Do you have a real lasting hope? Is your hope in anything other than Jesus? Because if it is, it won't last. It's come and gone before, and it'll come and go again. But because of Christmas, you and I can live a hope-filled life in 2026, all because God has come into this world. Because Jesus Christ was born as a baby in Bethlehem and lived the life that we couldn't. He's died on a cross. He's risen again from the dead. He's proven his power that we might know the life we've been made for in relationship with our Maker, through whom we can know deep peace, real hope, and lasting joy. Maybe this is something that you've heard before. Maybe you once said you believed in Jesus, but you've wandered away. Your life doesn't really show or have much to do with Jesus, the mighty God. But you're here tonight. And you could even come back to Jesus. You can renew your hope in him this evening. Maybe you've never heard of this before. I wonder, will you even this Christmas turn to Jesus and trust yourself to him for this hope that you're searching for? If you'll do that, well, I can't promise you you'll have an easy life, but I can promise you you'll have a hope-filled life. We'll never have true hope without Jesus. But if you will believe in him this Christmas, well, you will have a hope that will never fail. I want to encourage you, friend, don't let this moment pass you by. Take seriously this good news offer of Christmas that will change your life forever. You've not had this hope up to now, but as you've sung the carols, you've heard the readings, you've heard something now from me of Christmas, and you're realizing that this is the hope that you need in your life, and it's found in Jesus, the one who is born in Bethlehem. And as you reflect on your life up to now, you realize you've been missing this unmistakable, unshakable joy and hope, which can only be found in him. And friend, I want to say to you tonight that you can put your trust in this Jesus. You can turn away from the way that you have been living up to now. And you can turn to Jesus and believe in him, that he came into this world and he lived and he died and he rose again for someone such as you. And if you were to do that, well, that would be the start of a wonderful new life. And so I'm going to pray for us now before we sing our final carol. And you can pray with me in your heart. You can make these words your own. And if what you have heard this evening has spoken to you, and you find yourself drawn towards Jesus and the great hope found in him, well, don't ignore that, friend. Put your trust in Jesus tonight and know that hope that can be found in him, because I can't promise you an easy life, but I can promise you that Jesus will never let you down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope of Christmas. We thank you that you promised hope in the sending of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that hope was realized when he was born 2,000 years ago. And in his life and death and resurrection, we see that hope realized, that promise of hope fulfilled. Please forgive us for looking for hope in all the wrong places. We're sorry for trusting in fleeting things and ignoring you. Help us to put our trust in Jesus, that we might know true hope and lasting hope this Christmas, next year, and through the rest of our lives. May all of us have this eternal hope as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.